Welcome back to Inside the Cave on a Wednesday morning. Ian Wendt and John Roberts with you till 9. We're joined on the phones at this time, the Green Jack guest line. That's right, the Green Jack guest line. Reuse, recycle, reinvent. Packaging, recycling, styrofoam, bubble wrap, air packs. No sorting needed. Check them out in Morenci. Or just go to greenjack.com. That's GREENJAK.com. Locally owned by the one and only Jack Still, based out in Morenci. On the guest line, we have with us Stephen Brooks with 24/7 Sports. He's our Spartan insider. Stephen, how's it been? How was your holiday?
Oh, it was great. Much needed. Got to unplug a little bit. Got to see some family and just get away from things for a while. So, yeah, it was. You know, not having selfishly look, and I'm never a guy that's going to turn down football, but selfishly not having a bowl game to worry about this year allowed me to make some holiday plans. You know, that weren't last minute. Like, okay, good. I can actually come. I can come. Yeah. No, tell your family I'm going to make it. You know, type of deal. So yeah, it was great. Hopefully, it was great for you guys too. Yeah,
it was. Got to look at the bright side, right? You know.
Well,
yeah, hey.
It'll make you appreciate that trip next year even more, right?
Right. No, yeah. Just a nice change of pace, you know? I mean, everything's, you know, you can't get too settled into any kind of routine, I guess.
So a team that, you know, isn't making us change our plans as of now is the men's basketball team out of Michigan State. They were home yesterday and put a pretty good licking on Nebraska as the Spartans improved to 11-4 on the season and another Big Ten win. Could I get your overall assessment of that game, Stephen? I'm sure you were either there or watching intently at home.
Yeah, I was there in my normal spot on the baseline. So I just think, you know, halfway through, obviously the first half was impressive. I mean, that 20 minutes that's right up there in terms of any stretch of basketball we've seen from this team this season. You know, right up there with whatever you want to say, the best of the Gonzaga game, the best of the Kentucky game, maybe the peak of the Villanova game. I don't know if that's quite as high. It was right up there, though. You know, you could make a case that it was the best half. You know, the way everything was clicking, Tyson Walker was aggressive, was efficient. 16 points, I think, on 7-for-10 shooting. You know, the way their backcourt just stepped up and just fired them in there and just you know, separated them. And then at halftime, you know, I was telling some people, like, hey, now here's the test, is like, keep the pedal down, you know, because that's always a thing, you know, with college teams.
Sure.
You know, these guys get early leads, and then they sort of dawdle around, and they're getting their own stats, or they're making highlight plays, or whatever the reason, you know, they just take their eye off the ball a lot. And I was like, this is a big test here, because the last time that team had really been in that position was Villanova, in terms of being up big on a Power 5 team in the second half, and, like, can you keep your pressure on the throat there? And they did. They made a 16-point game into a 1-point game in the final minute against Villanova. And so, and then Nebraska came out firing and scored the first 6 points of the second half, and I was like, huh, are we going to, you know, is this a here-we-go-again situation? Or how are they going to react? And I thought they reacted pretty well, you know, for the most part. You still end up winning by basically 20. Could have been better. You know, they did have some balls in the second half, and, you know, you can't get away with that stuff in the NCAA tournament and whatnot. But, look, we're 3 months away from even worrying about that. So, all in all, I thought it was a really, really good night when you talk about having a bit of a break. And just a slowdown in general these last 3 weeks with, like, two games, the Christmas break, the New Year's, you know, little break and layover and everything. To come out and just zoom out of the gate the way they did, I thought the first half was impressive. Backcourt play, like I mentioned, and just, you know, the way the fairly, you know, C-plus job, I guess, in the second half. You know, not a total failure or anything, obviously. Could have done a lot better, I think, in terms of slamming the door, but still effectively, you know, got that job done. So a lot of good things, I thought.
I don't want to make this just sound blunt and obvious, but is this just because Nebraska's not very good? Or do you think it was more Michigan State?
No, I buy what Tom Izzo's selling. He's selling it pretty hard that this is a different Nebraska team, but I think the results have shown that. You know, I mean, they should have beat Purdue earlier in the year. And I think that would have changed everyone's perception of this team. I do think they're better. I've seen this team, mm-hmm. you know, every time they've come in here the last couple of years. And this is a better put together team, I think, you know, more well-rounded, with some legitimate, you know, some better size than they've had. It's just a better compilation of players, you know, than they've had over there. I think Walker, their big guy, is going to be somebody who can give some folks some problems in the Big Ten. And they're not as, you know, they used to be, and even Fred Hoiberg talked about this afterward, they always wanted to outscore you, you know, run up and down mm-hmm. and just, you know, make you trade points with them and then just outscore you in the end. And now he's like, they're playing a lot slower pace-wise. You know, they're defending better. They're probably his best defensive team. So, yeah, I do think they're I don't think they're as bad as they've been. I mean, look, they're still going to be a bottom half of the Big Ten team, I think. But that bottom half of the Big Ten doesn't look too shabby these days. When you look at, you know, they might not even end up there. But, you know, Northwestern, Penn State, both look to be competent. You know, if those are bottom half teams, it's a really interesting league. And Tom Izzo talked a little bit about that, is at the bottom, to him, has really risen up. The top maybe isn't there this year in terms of having an elite team, maybe outside of Purdue, maybe not even them, but still not having those like two or three, you know, top 15 type of teams the league usually has. But the bottom, I think, seems to be pretty tough and competitive on a given night. So, I think they're better than we're used to, quite honestly.
Steven, I have a couple player questions for you. First being Malik Hall. How big is his return to the lineup for the Spartans?
Oh, man, it's massive. You know, Tom Izzo keeps saying there's a and it might sound funny for anybody who's, you know, familiar with Tom Izzo's sideline demeanor, but he keeps saying that Malik brings a calmness to him, you know, when he's on the floor. So maybe you can't tell too much by how expressive he is, but that's what he keeps saying, and I think that says a lot. You know, that's the word that he keeps using. And look, he was scoreless of their main rotation last night. He was scoreless until the very end. Then he has five in a row, right when Nebraska's sort of about to make it interesting, possibly, maybe, kind of, you know, boom, he hits five in a row, just sort of like you need your, like, veteran trustee. You know, he's not the captain by title, but they basically call him that and treat him as such, and that's the guy you want coming through at that moment, and he did. And those were his only 5 points, and they were critical ones. He's been massive. He's their most versatile guy. So he changes the rotations so much because he can play small. You can play him in any lineup. I mean, you could even, I wouldn't recommend it for too much, but I mean, you could even play ultra small with him, like at the five in certain situations. And you could play ultra big and have him start at the wing. And then you have Joey Hauser and Mati Sissoko in there. Or even have, you know, two true centers in there and put Hauser out, throw Hauser on the bench. So he is the key to any sort of versatility or any you know, swing position type of things that they can do. And much like you know, I think he's still working his way back, like we saw Jaden Akins for the first handful of games. Maybe even still now. I mean, maybe it seems like Jaden's sort of rounding that corner just now. These last two or three. There's going to be an adjustment period for Malik, too, coming back. But I liken it to, like, when Xavier Henderson came back for the football team, and it was obvious that he wasn't 100% back there at safety, but things just got better. People were more organized. The communication was better, all that type of stuff, all that intangible stuff. Malik Hall is doing all of that for the basketball team as well. He's very important organizationally and communication-wise for what they do on both ends of the floor, really. So I think he's been a massive, massive boost. And you hope, you know, like I said, we talked about that first half of basketball. That was some of the best 20 minutes we've seen from them. And it's finally, you know, this team getting his full deck of players together. Well, we saw little glimpses of some good stuff, too, against Gonzaga, against Kentucky, before everything sort of unraveled health-wise. So it does make you wonder if they can, if the worst of their injury luck is behind them, which obviously for these kids' sake you hope it is. If they've already gone through the worst of it, then man, you can really start to wonder about what this team could be. Because when they have been healthy, which hasn't been a lot of games, but when they have been that, they've shown quite a bit of promise, I think.
Mm. And speaking of football. Players, Keon Coleman deciding not to play. What impact does that have on the Spartans roster this winter?
It's a bummer, I think, for fans, right? It's a bummer for me as a reporter, just because, you know, it's such a cool story. I think it doesn't happen very much at all anymore, obviously, as we all know. The guy is just a rare athlete, you know, and being able to see him up close, anybody who's able to be in the building and just hope that maybe he'll get in there and throw down a 360 dunk on a breakaway or something like that, that possibility always being there added a little something. It's you know, that possibility that maybe you'll be there in the building one day where Steven Izzo scores his first bucket, that's one thing, and everyone's going to be happy when that happens. But the idea that you could just see something like, man, not everybody can do that,
right.
Not even most people, not even, you know, it's always a treat at the end, you know, if he was going to be around. But I get it. I think in his heart of hearts, he'd love to be able to make it work one way or another. It was cool when he did it last year and, of course, came right in and scored against Michigan his first game out. And that,
right.
You know, that's always going to be part of the mythology. But, yeah, I do think, you know, not even just the novelty of it, though. I do think he would have helped him. When you talk about 10 scholarship players, when we talk about the injuries that I was just mentioning, I mean, if you know, knock on wood, they're good to go the rest of the year, then maybe they'll be fine. But if, you know, a little tweak here, a little ankle roll there, you know, one or two games for a perimeter guy, man, 5 to 10 minutes a game from Keon Coleman might just be what you need. Or just to change the vibe up, like Izzo did in Iowa last year, just a different change of pace, different kind of athlete to throw at somebody. I do think he would have actually had a semi-decent role this year. And I do think he's talented enough that if he just played basketball, I think he could start in the Big Ten somewhere. You know, but I mean, at the end of the day, I do understand why this was the decision, because I also think, you know, he can be a high second-round pick, if not maybe, you know, best-case scenario, sneak into day one of the next year's draft, if he has the type of year that everybody envisions. And you just hate to see, you know, the last regular season basketball game of the year or something, he rolls an ankle really bad or whatever, something even worse, and then, you know, you don't see him until mid to late October or something of next year. So, you know, just your mind can go to some of those places when you worry about the worst-case scenario. So I get it. I do think it's the smartest thing for him.
Talking with Stephen Brooks with 24/7 Sports. We got another couple minutes with you, but I think it's important to preview pretty big game coming up this weekend between Michigan State and that other school in the state. Could you tell us what you know about Michigan and their early season?
Yeah, they've been an odd team, you know, very odd team. I thought they'd be better than they have been this year. I mean, you lose home to Central Michigan, which sort of seems unacceptable, then go and just hammer Maryland, who I don't think is awful, you know. So it's very interesting, odd team. Everybody knows what Hunter Dickinson is and what he can give you on a given night. I mean, he can walk into pretty much any college building and you know, threat to drop 30. You know, he basically did on Michigan State last year in their home game. And, you know, I don't think he had quite as good a game over here. But so I just don't know exactly what Michigan team to expect necessarily. I know they're going to be walking into, you know, a snake pit on top of a nuclear reactor, on top of a tire fire in the Breslin. Because, guys, I mean, remember, everything that's happened, this is the first Michigan State thing since the tunnel fight,
right?
Since the charges that sort of poured gasoline on everything, mm-hmm. and the whole legal situation, since, you know, Michigan's run to the playoff and everybody being, you know, just all the cheers and hugging and dancing over in Ann Arbor. There's been a lot of dynamics in play at this rivalry since October 29th, I believe it was. The dust-ups and the emotional reactions and moments from Juwan Howard and everything on his sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot that's happened these last couple months, so I think it's going to be a pretty venomous environment in Breslin for those guys to walk into from Michigan, and I think that's going to be a real factor. I don't say that just for nothing. It always is in this game. I've seen it. I've seen the Breslin home crowd carry this team in that game many, many times, and I think this is going to be one of those times where they're gonna be walking on air a little bit, probably because of the energy in that building. So they would have to play extremely poorly, you know, to not, you know, sort of get a boost from that crowd, I think, and to not play well in that game. So I expect things to go pretty well there. I'm just curious to feel that energy in the building because of everything I just said, and you know, these two teams, these two logos, you know, being matched up together again, and just everything that brings out.
And it could be a great game, one of the all-time great games in the series if the Michigan team that played Virginia or Kentucky shows up as opposed to the one that played CMU.
Absolutely. And who knows, though, right? It's just that they've been a true sort of wild card.
Jekyll and Hyde, very much so.
Interesting. Yeah.
At times they look like they're one of the better teams in the country, and then at times it's like, where'd that team go,
Now, Stephen, with your baseline seats, which I like that little plug you did there, are there enough tunnels at the Breslin to get the teams in and out?
There are. There's two tunnels.
Okay.
Everybody should be fine.
All right, good.
We should be good there.
All right, absolutely. Well, Stephen, thanks for the conversation, and we'll talk next Wednesday, same place, same time.
All right, thanks so much, guys. Have a great rest of the week.
All right, you too. Thanks.
That's Stephen Brooks with 24/7 Sports. You can find all his content on social media. Just search for him, Stephen Brooks, with 24/7 Sports. You can find all of his internet talkings, all of his writing, very good stuff. And we're happy to have him as a regular on Inside the Cave.